Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Earthquakes. Inclement weather. Shootings. Car crashes. And other things that are happening in our world all the time. Now, I am not interested in denying that they are happening, you know, like in the sense of a spiritual bypass. No, I'm interested in what I learned at Centers for Spiritual Living, and that is to change my perspective on what is going on, to change it in such a way that my new perspective allows me to show up and function in my highest way. So that the contribution I make to the world and to the others and to my own well-being is at the highest level I'm capable of. Now, the way our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, expressed it, he said, it's not reality that you must change. It's your mental reaction to it that must change. Oh, now, one of the ways that I love to shift and change my mental reaction to anything that's happening, especially if it's disturbing, is to redirect my attention to something more powerful, something that works every time, and that is compassionate identification with others. Now, compassion, as you may know, is a sense of sharing the experience of others, particularly when they are suffering. And it's most often combined with a desire to lessen or alleviate that suffering. Now, I've been sharing a prayer with everyone so far. You've probably heard it already, but it's really being an anchor for me right now. It's a prayer for a pandemic by Cameron Wiggins Bell in Canada. Yeah, it is prayer for a pandemic. May we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. May we who have no risk factors remember those who are most vulnerable. May we who have the luxury of working from home remember those who must choose between preserving their health or making the rent. May we who have the flexibility to care for our children when their schools close remember those who have no options. May we who have to cancel our trips remember those who have no safe place to go. May we who are losing our margin money in the tumult of the economic market remember those who have no margin at all. May we who settle in for a quarantine at home remember those who have no home. As fear grips our country, let us choose love. And during this time, when we cannot physically wrap our arms around each other, let us find ways to be the loving embrace of God to each other. Amen. Maybe you know of someone who is feeling anxious right now. Maybe you know someone who is feeling unwell and is worried. Or maybe you know someone who already has a compromised immune system before this all happened. Or maybe you know someone who is worried about how this is impacting their ability to make ends meet right now. And maybe that someone who is worrying is you. Well, I want to share with you a practice that I use. It's an easy, wonderful, nourishing practice that anyone can do with or without spiritual training. It's something that can be done first thing in the morning, last thing at night, and as many times as necessary during the day. the way you go about it. And I got the idea from our founder who said, take a moment to put everything aside. Put the world aside for a moment, knowing that after the practice, you can go back and pick it up. It will be there in exactly the state that it was before, or maybe better as a result of your practice. So we take a moment to forget as much as possible, to forget entirely about correcting anything or anyone or yourself. And then in the silence of your own mind, privately, call to mind someone. Think of someone in your life who seems to be struggling. And then, here's the practice. Use your beautiful imagination to see them well, calm, loved, happy, safe, dry, fed. Now, some people might be wondering, what's the point of this? What difference could it make? Well, in the world of psychology, apparently there's a lot of power in this practice. The psychologist and author Dr. G. Hendricks believes that this kind of visualization is one of the most powerful tools we have for change. He writes, many people are propelled by the past. I think you might understand what that means, because I understand it. You know, that's when you let what happened determine your future. He says, but this visualization that we're talking about is an act of projecting a different kind of present into the future, one that pulls us forward into a healthier future, if that's what we're thinking about it. Well, how exactly does this work? Well, in the online magazine Psychology Today, there is an article, there's a lot of good articles there, an article that suggests that when we imagine doing something, just in our thinking, in our imagination, we have the same or similar responses physically and emotionally as if we were actually doing the activity. There's a lot of work on that right now. Here's what it says. Brain studies now reveal that thoughts produce the same mental instructions as actions. Mental imagery impacts many cognitive processes in the brain, motor control, attention, perception, planning, and memory. Well, here's a question then. What is the mental imagery that you're filling your beautiful brain with right now? Or we would say it like this in our tradition. What are you filling your consciousness with right now? I can't help but think of the psalmist who wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, the threat of death, of endings, I will fear nothing. Why? Because my mind is filled up with the presence of the holy. Oh, it's a good question for these times, especially as practicing metaphysicians. What kind of mental imagery am I filling my beautiful mind with? The article goes on to say, it's been found that mental practices can enhance motivation, increase confidence, and improve performance, prime your brain for success, and increase states of flow, all of which are relevant to expressing the best of who you are in the world. You know, athletes have been using this since the 70s. You know, where they not only did their exercises, but mentally thought through doing their exercises for higher and better expression of their sport. And religious scientists, why, we've been using this technique for the past 100 years. Oh, we ought to have been. It's called visualization, and it's the practice of using your beautiful imagination, a tool that anyone can use to help foster a sense of wholeness that then draws us forward as if that wholeness was an already accomplished fact. Imagine a greater yet to be. It's not daydreaming. Indeed, I think it might very well be the responsibility of the faith communities to imagine a better world. Who else is going to do it? So I'm inviting you to try it with me right now, right where you are. Take a moment and let's work on a particular population, our medical professionals. Now, you might begin by thinking of your own family doctor or a physician that has attended to you or a nurse who's been helpful, or just as a group in general, and then include in that imagination our first responders. And then include in this scenario our peace officers. And then try to see them, or at least feel it. Try to imagine us cooperating with them. The feeling of harmony that goes with that. And then broaden that and imagine, try to see them as healthy and well, supported and fed and loved. Try to feel and sense and know them in the light of community appreciation and collaboration. Well, this is worthy to do. I mean, if we're going to be spending time at home, why not use that time to become deeply obsessed with wholeness? Why not use that time to become seriously quiet from time to time and imagine a greater yet to be, especially because we are learning that doing so can change things up in us physiologically, can change our emotions, have a physical effect on our body. And we would say from our faith tradition, it goes deeper than that. We would add to that, it's not just good for you to do it, but it's good for all of creation because you and I occupy the same space in mind. So what I do here is for you and what you do there is for me. What if we all visualized health and well-being for our world? You know, we did that on Thursday just recently. A group of us from this community got onto Zoom and contemplated wholeness. And some of the people on the call were so moved by reconnecting. They were crying openly, not out of fear, but out of the relief of being with people who are faithfully called to imagine wholeness. And then the next day, I did it again with over 250 clergy members and spiritual practitioners, and we contemplated wholeness for you. Now I'm inviting you to do this too, not only for yourself, but for your loved ones, and then include your neighbors. And the people you work with, and then include your city, and then include your world, and then include health care workers and first responders and peace officers everywhere. Now, if it is you who are struggling with peace or anxiety, that can be a little more difficult when it's really close. Like, how do I disengage and disconnect, uncouple from the emotions that are rising up in me? Well, that's why we have to help each other. That's why we have to be there for each other. So I want to let you know that there are spiritual resources for you through our website. Now, we obviously won't be offering in-person, face-to-face prayer today, but there are options. There's an online prayer request form. The link to it will appear in the chat right now. We have a number you can call for pre-recorded affirmative prayer, spiritual mind treatment, and listen to as frequently as you want. We also have a telephone ministry of prayer, staffed by live people. And we have got, what a wonderful thing, an online affirmative prayer library that is filled up with spiritual mind treatments that can be searched by topic. And many of our spiritual practitioners are continuing to see clients through Skype and through telephone. So social distancing yet, but spiritual closening. Sutter Hospital has a cancer support group and it sends out emails to their clients. And one of them made its way to me and I love it because it has reminders in it that are appropriate for the entire population right now. Reminders that it is important to acknowledge, yeah, this is a disruption to our lives. And disruptions come with uncertainty, and uncertainty can cause worry. Worry about all sorts of things, our finances, our survivability, disappointment too, about plans. And yeah, these feelings can be hard for us to handle. So to begin by acknowledging that. Then the newsletter gives tips for taking care of ourselves emotionally. And the first tip, you're going to be shocked. It's this. Be extra gentle and kind with yourself. It goes on to say, look, it's normal to have a stress response to a disruption. It's normal. And also, and importantly, however, if your anxiety is persistent or heightening or causing you to be frozen, typically we can't just wish our way through that. No, it might be time to reach out for support if that's going on. And then what I want to add to that list of recommendations and advice is this one. And be extra gentle and kind with other people. Because I'm not doing too well at that right now. Have you slipped a little? The room went silent. So it must just be me. You know, I do love the advice to be kind and gentle with myself and with others. Because right now I'm hearing stories about people who are acting out in supermarkets. You know, stories about people in supermarkets who are panic buying. Stop it. You know the story of manna from heaven when the people didn't listen and instead of having trust and faith, they accumulated and hoarded the food that was being provided. You know what happened? It all went bad. So if you're not a Bible scholar, you ought to go read about that. Look it up. Manna from heaven. It's a story for our times. Use less. Calm down. Trust. Here's a beautiful story from Toronto, from Siobhan. She writes, a teacher friend of mine was teaching math to a class of six-year-olds, a number of whom were recently arrived refugees from other countries. The topic was fractions. So the teacher defined what is a half and what is a quarter, and then asked the children to write down on a piece of paper whether they would prefer a half of a chocolate bar or a quarter of a chocolate bar. As she walked around the room, she noticed, to her disappointment, that some of the new students wrote down that they would prefer a quarter. And she thought, oh no, I'm going to have to reteach this lesson because they don't get it. They don't seem to understand that a half is bigger than a quarter. So she asked some of the students why they preferred a quarter, and one little girl replied, saying, so that more people can have a piece of the chocolate. She writes, Siobhan writes, I cried when I heard that story because it reminded me of how beautiful humanity is if we take a moment to notice it. The psalmist says, in the presence of my enemies, that's the threat, a table is prepared before me. So I don't have to fear what is going on around me. Instead, let me turn my attention and start looking for good. Oh, it's there. Ordinary goodness is everywhere. Now, the next piece of advice from Sutter Hospital is this one. To connect with others, even though we have been ordered to keep physical distance. Physical distance, spiritual closening. We have technology. Praise God. Sutter Hospital says it's important right now to call our friends, our family, loved ones, our neighbors, our co-workers. It's important right now to check in with others and to find out how they are and how they are coping. You know, not only can that make them feel better, it turns out it can make us feel better too. So Skype, FaceTime, or other virtual connections. You know, for those people who have been saying, I don't do that, I don't know how to. We are being propelled into this century's technology. You don't look happy. We don't need to touch each other physically because we touch each other spiritually already. You and I occupy the same place in mind, which is why the work we do locally is global. I've been sharing something else with anyone who will listen for a moment, and so you may have heard this already. I received a message, the title of it was Coronavirus. And I received this from an acquaintance who is part of one of the organizations we partnered with, the Bal Ashram in India. And the author goes on to explain, this isn't a typo. Karuna means compassion in Hindi. The author had been pondering the idea that our response to the coronavirus can stimulate fear and proposes that we turn it around. We shift perspective. And he says, we can do that right where we are. We can develop a response of compassion towards those who are suffering, whether that is physically or emotionally or spiritually. So in addition to following the recommendations of the Centers for Disease Control, we can think about this. Imagine spreading compassion. I mean, dare I say, virally? I mean, right where we are right now, from wherever you are right now, if you take a moment and be still, like we practiced earlier on, and turn our thoughts to the source of all, and then let that mind be in us. Let us feel our calm, and let us feel connected, and let us imagine ourselves as being beacons of support and love for all those who need it. Now I'm going to invite you who are here and you who are watching online to join us for a moment of spiritual practice. And my invitation is to let each person according to their own faith tradition do whatever is necessary to bring the divine into focus and let it be the first place in our consciousness. I'm inviting you to let these words that I read now from our founder be as if they are being said in your own voice silently. And so you might want to close your eyes for the meditation. Peace is the power at the heart of God. My peace is found at the heart of God. And the heart of God for me is found at the very center of my being. It does not matter how closely the confusion of the outer world presses against me. I'm not even disturbed by the confusion in my immediate environment, even inside of me and around me, no. Because I know, and I know that I know, that the way to transform and transcend and counteract and harmonize confusion is to bring that peace into play. Like the master teacher said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. Oh, these words of assurance stay with me. And I hear them re-echoing in the depths of my being. And so I surrender. In this moment, as best as I can, I surrender all of my fears, in particular those nameless fears, those ones that have been with me that seems for such a long time dulling my mind and clouding my mentality as I remember. What indeed is there for an immortal, eternal, divine being to fear? Certainly not other people. For as I am a divine, immortal being, living and breathing and having my being inside the presence of the Almighty, so is every person. In this way, all people are my siblings and all beings are my kin. And in this way, I recognize we are sharing one life, a principle of wholeness, and it is working in and through me, and it's inspiring my motives and inspiring the motives of everyone I contact. I am seeing that. So I cannot fear anything right now in this moment of meditation, because my mind is settled on a perfect life principle that is animating my body and going about its perfect work in me and through me. I remember, in God I live. God lives in me. And I am drawing upon that peace now, which is why I can say again, my peace is found at the heart of God. And the heart of God for me is at the very center of my being. I invite you now to let the next breath you take be deeper than the one before, like this. And to sigh. And as we bring this moment of contemplation to an end, we are making a transition to that part of our service where typically we practice the law of circulation. The law of circulation is a collection of spiritual practices that includes receiving, giving, asking, celebrating, acknowledging, appreciating, and so on. In our service, we practice in particular the act of giving to support our center financially. But we also do it in the spirit of receiving. So as we are giving, we are thinking about how we are participating in a flow of good. Of course, we are not going to pass a basket today. We have put a basket out in the social hall for those people who wish in our studio audience to make their regular weekly contribution. And for those of you who are watching online who typically make a weekly contribution, there is a link going to appear in the chat box right now where you can go to an online donation portal. Or if you're not sure how to do that, just navigate to our website, www.csslsr.org, and click on the donate button, and that will take you directly to the portal where you can make your donation. And so for now, while we are taking care of that and thinking about everything that we receive from the center and from life and from the living spirit and how we make participate in that flow, our musicians have prepared some music for us.